This is the place where sports opinions collide, Dead End Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth Vienge. Joining me as usual is FIFO 24/7.
Thanks for the 24/7, Ken. Appreciate it.
BZ430 of Dead End Gaming. Make sure you guys subscribe.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Mr. Disrespect of the No Disrespect Podcast.
Mr. NDR himself. Frames per second podcast too.
Yes, yes, forgot about that too. So
why did you pick Bane over Thanos? I know this is like super. That's Bane, on Jamil Hill. Bane. She said Thanos or Bane, and you picked Bane.
Because Bane was like the mastermind. Thanos needed a lot of help, in my opinion. Bane was like
snapped,
that.
Man snapped his fingers and annihilated half of the.
But Bane ain't got no superpowers, and he came out the mud for real. Like he came out that he shit. He was that nigga from day one.
Not Thanos.
He broke Batman back.
That would actually be a good debate for the Frame for a Second podcast. We should table that.
Yeah, all right, Thanos needed a whole entire Avengers to defeat him.
Because he
or try to defeat
like
him.
He had a cheat code with the stones. He couldn't fight them by himself. And they was this close to beating him anyway with the stone.
With no cigar. He had Spider-Man saying, I don't feel good.
Y'all was talking about games that make y'all cry. I almost cried at that scene where Peter was like, I don't feel good. Oh. I was like, damn, he just got here. They killed the nigga.
That's a movie, though. That's not a game. Shit. I don't think you'll cry the game. Yeah, so anyway. All right, man.
Lakers not making the playoffs. No, go ahead. I'm just fucking with
that's
you.
That's actually the first question.
That is?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just saying that shit.
Yeah,
are
the Lakers done?
Oh, wow. Yeah, man. Wow.
Yeah, man. Look, when Pat Bev talks that much smack and backs it up,
Pat
talking
Bev.
About we the best team in LA.
Yeah.
And then you go out there and you beat the Lakers.
You beat the LA, yeah.
It's a wrap.
Do he remind you a little bit of Gary Payton as far as attitude?
Of course. Anybody that's trippy like that, that plays defense first.
Did y'all know Gary Payton was the only point guard that won Defensive Player of the Year in
the
history?
I saw you post that.
Yeah, yeah, ever. Wow. No point guard has never won Defensive Player of the Year except for Gary Payton.
Was Chris Paul in the running?
He probably made like an all defensive team, but he was never like no point guard has never been in talks of defensive player of the year. Most of the time, it's always to get to a big guy. But yeah, he's the only PG in NBA history. Yeah, but he's the only PG in history to win a defensive player of the year.
That's dope. I don't think that's gonna ever happen. Yeah, I don't think nobody else is gonna be able to do that.
No one got that dog in him like GP.
Like we said the same thing about Oscar Robertson triple double.
I know,
Westbrook
but
came out of nowhere.
Okay, cool. But 50 years later, though. But I'm just saying.
Exactly.
But.
And then also we've seen the point guard position never be deeper than it is right now. And who stands out like that?
Right.
But yeah, that's because the league don't even care about defense for real.
You know, I
could be and it's different. They play defense differently too.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I think that. Stylistically, Colin Sexton, but I don't know if he has the chops.
Right.
And then even GP struggled year one and two.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It took him a little while to adjust, so I don't know. I think Colin Sexton's the only one mentally that has that mind frame, that style of play. But I don't think he'll get it, though.
Why you think Lakers are done?
Reason why I don't think that the Lakers make the playoffs, they've lost too many games down the stretch that they're supposed to win. 9 of 12.
Damn,
with LeBron, right?
With LeBron.
Okay.
You lose to the Grizzlies. Mm. You lose to the Suns.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That Suns
was
hurt.
It the Timberwolves, too?
Yep, Timberwolves. Man, the Bucks, they lost. And they controlled that game, the Bucks game, for the most part.
The thing. The Bucks game is the one game in that stretch of games that they must win. That,
right.
Okay, if you lose that game, we
okay,
get
number
it.
One, yeah. It's the Bucks.
Yes.
Number one team. It's the Bucks.
We get it. But, yo, like you can't lose those games. And then the cherry on top, losing to Pat Bev in them.
Yes.
It's a wrap now. It's a wrap.
And the body language of LeBron.
Yes.
Just that y'all
saw that thing I sent y'all? Kuzma literally had to push LeBron. And then there's other clips where LeBron is just kind of, he's moping around.
Yep.
Is that
dude's hitting wide open shots. He's doing this in the middle, like just in the middle of the court doing this. Mm-hmm.
Is that all effort or is that because he's playing a lot of minutes still, right? Like he's playing 40+.
I think part of it is he's trying to cheat on defense, so that's why he's kind of sagging in the middle of the paint. And, you know, if the ball rotates around to him, then he's supposed to close out. He just didn't close out. Because I was watching that play, and I'm looking, I'm like, why is he just sagging in the paint? I know they were running like a pick and roll or whatever, and then the ball rotated around. That's why Kuzma pushed, but I don't know if he thought the guy in the corner was supposed to rotate over.
No, that is LeBron's responsibility. I was just trying to figure out why.
I always thought LeBron played like free safety defense. Like he's going for the passing lanes. Of course, he'll get a block and stuff, but it's usually on a guard. It's not like someone of his, like,
and I think as forward. He's gotten older, he definitely plays the free safety a little bit more. He's been doing that a lot this year. So I don't know.
Are we starting to see the? I think we talked about this last week. The beginning, the beginning of the decline.
Well, no.
He's not declining.
He is declining. Yeah. Let's not mince words.
Right.
He is declining.
The beginning.
And this is not the beginning.
It's not the beginning.
It happened years ago. We talked about it on the podcast. Yeah. Or at least I did.
From starting from the championship.
I think
because remember we was talking about how phenomenal he was playing last year.
Yeah, but the thing is. Like we said, right? Like LeBron isn't 100% LeBron anymore, right? He, a couple years ago, I feel like he was 98% LeBron. You know, just a half step slower. Now we're starting to see 94% LeBron.
Right. So it's like this season is coming. It's going down.
You know, like when you play 2K, when people start getting older, he went from like 98 to like 94. That's where he's at now. He's like 94.
Okay.
And that's still way better than the league. There's only like one or two people.
So like maybe next year he might hit down like 91.
He might.
So you're saying decline from LeBron's talent, not a decline as more of like, well, just get to it, like best player in the league.
I think that because of his IQ and all of those intangibles, best player of the league, he's still always going to be in that conversation. As long as he could be physical and athletic enough, he'll always be in that conversation. Once that starts to decline to the point where this guy's clear cut better than him, he can't close out, he can't get the block, he can't get the steal, the tip pass. When he can't do those things, then I think he can get easily surpassed for best player in the league.
Can you say he's the best player in the league or still or like the best or like
I think he hasn't been the best player since last year, since KD got that.
The second ring on him.
I think from then on, like, because to be honest, I know we always like to glorify, like, the passing of the torch. Like, what was it, Magic and Bird passed to the MJ. MJ passed to the, Kobe, I guess.
I think it was, like, Shaq.
You can say Shaq.
It was supposed to be Grant Hill and Penny, but injuries slowed them down.
Grant Hill was a dog, too, back then.
Man. They was getting ready to pass that torch to him when Jordan retired the first time.
But I think that with LeBron, it's just like, because he's been dominant for so long and he's always been that top guy for, 15-plus years now? Mm-hmm. It's like you said, you see the decline, but no one's been really have, like, the bravado to say, he ain't the best player.
Right.
They just now saying it, obviously, because it's easy to say. Right. But I've been thinking since that final, like, bro, like, he can't guard Kate like the best player. To me, like, when he was at his peak, he was guarding the D-Rose. He was shutting down. You know, he got the block on Iguodala. Like, he was the one that was like, I'm the factor. He was like the Khalil Mack as far as, like, he's just a monster.
1,000%. I agree with that. But because LeBron can still take a bunch of somebodies and still get them far, is the difference to me between the KDs and the Giannises of the world. You know what I'm saying? And LeBron done that from a young age as well. Think about the first time he made the finals. He had no business making it there.
Yeah, I was surprised that year too.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So LeBron has always had that. And that, to me, is what separated him from everybody else. Mm-hmm. And he still has that. Not to the same degree. I think that part of his game is declining as well.
So is that done now?
I don't think it's done. Because when he was healthy, he was top five in the West. Healthy.
Top three, top four. I think, was there a four seed?
There was a four seed.
Before he got injured?
They got as high as three.
Yeah, three seed, yeah.
So when he's healthy, he's still, to me, healthy, he's the best guy in the league. Right now, with his health in question, that evens out a little bit more. I could definitely say KD is more on the level of LeBron, and Giannis is more on the level of LeBron. I still eke out LeBron a little bit more, but they don't make the playoffs. I gotta say KD. You know what I'm saying? Because you're hooping right now. If you were injured to the point where you can't hoop, I get it. I'll preserve where you was.
But everybody hurt right now.
Everybody hurt. You know what I'm saying? And where you're playing, you still get your numbers because you're that great. 27, 7 and 6 or 8 last night against
something
the Clippers.
Like that, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's easy for LeBron. We know you're going to get the numbers, but what are you making those things, those plays that are difference makers? You know what I'm saying? That allows you to take whoever and put them on your back and win those games. Because these are the games you're supposed to. He played in these games, right? Yeah. It wasn't like he was sitting out. He played
meaningful minutes.
You're supposed
to win.
Yeah.
That's the difference of LeBron. He's not doing it. So now I have to say KD is up there.
God damn. This dude just hit another three. I'm sorry, y'all. My bad.
It's been hard on all the. It's been hard to laugh.
Yes, dude. I mean, they're going to probably show the history play. Look at this. And he hit two of them before this. Like, just out dribbling.
All upon the elbow, too. That should have been one.
Dang, dude. I've never seen a team shoot so many threes as the Houston Rockets, ever. Mm-hmm. They shoot more than Golden State.
They do. And that's crazy as hell.
That is.
And that's crazy. He's got the craziest gunners in the NBA.
Right. I'm sorry. I cut you off. You was talking about Brian.
But yeah, man, I think that's the difference with LeBron, and he hasn't been able to show that anymore. You know what I'm saying? So...
That's why you think they're done.
That's why I think they're done.
All right, Ken, come on. Be honest.
Because he was the same one. He was main one. Yeah, they're going to be all right.
He's talking about they going to the finals.
Right. He was saying that. They going to the finals.
They were until LeBron got hurt. I mean, they still got 0.1% chance to make the playoffs.
Spurs and Clippers, man. They ain't giving up that spot.
I understand.
Spurs playing with some juice. You seen DeRozan lately?
Yes.
I just need them to be mathematically eliminated.
It's like one more game.
No, yeah, it's getting.
I know. Okay,
they're 5 games back out the AC.
I understand.
5.
17 games. They could go 15-2.
They would have to. I don't know what their schedule is, but they would have to.
It's a tough. Ken told me it's a tough schedule.
They had the fourth hardest schedule after the break.
Yeah, they did. So it would have been. These would have been good tune-up games for them.
These cupcake games they lost.
It's a wrap.
How you lose to the Suns?
Well, the Bucks lost to the Suns, too.
But the Bucks, we ain't worried about them.
The Bucks had the Greek Freak was playing. They had their full squad.
But they number one. They're the best team
in the league, and they still lost to the Suns.
But we know why good teams lose those games. We already identified.
I'm just saying. People saying, oh, they lost to the Suns, it's not the same thing. It is the same.
No, you can't justify one loss because of another one.
Yes, I can.
All right, you could do that.
Listen, when they lost to the Suns, it was bad. But when the Bucks lost to the Suns, I'm like, oh, okay, it's bad, but it's
not
as bad.
But then the Bucks beat y'all.
It's not as bad, so, you know. But yeah, no, like to what FIFO said, you kind of expect that. You don't expect to lose to the Suns, but you don't expect the Suns to beat the Bucks. You know, they kind of – but it's not the Bucks. It's the Hawks. It's the Grizzlies. It's the Clippers. It's all these other teams that they're losing to. So, two things. B, you know, looks like you were right. Regardless of how it all shaped out, regardless of how we got here, at the end of the day, your prediction was right. FIFO, you were right about Walton and his rotations and the way that –
LaVar Ball criticized Lonzo, the way he was using Lonzo. Yep, FIFO called it.
We're seeing that manifest itself. We've seen it. I've seen it all season. He has no idea what he's doing in terms of rotations. Magic messed up by trading Zubac for Muscala and trading whoever for Reggie Bullock. They didn't work.
It's the first time I'm seeing the Piston leave Detroit and actually play worse than he did when he was with us.
Usually, most times when people leave Pistons,
they play better all of a sudden, but he's playing worse. It's like, dude, you was balling with us.
Yeah, the trades didn't make sense. You might as well have kept Zubac, especially not going to play McGee. Tyson Chandler hurt. So all the Lakers have done, it doesn't look good. Right. Kuzma's hurt.
Don't give me my credit either.
Bring it. What was the credit for what?
The free agents thing.
Oh, we ain't got – no, because free agency hasn't happened yet. I thought about that. I was like, okay, what Nick get credit for? But when we get there, you'll get your credit. I don't mind giving the credit where it's due.
But
haven't made it to you yet.
And here's the thing with free agency, right? Like, I think you're going to be right in the sense that the Kawhis, the KDs, the Kyries probably don't come. But I'm telling you, if LeBron plays with DeMarcus – That's still a fiercer twosome. Because I don't know if y'all been watching DeMarcus in Golden State, and I know that the numbers suggest that they're better without him in the lineup. A lot of advanced stats say that Golden State is better without DeMarcus.
And that's why they're saying that them signing Bogut is because of that. Because
the I didn't know he was still stat. In the league.
No, he wasn't. He was dominating in another league. He just in the Australian league, and he just won MVP out there.
So he was the number one pick.
He was the number one pick. Real, that was a weak ass drive, though.
Real quick, I just want to. I know you was talking about them having the tough Lakers having a tough schedule. I'm gonna give you all the games they have in the remainder of March. They got the Nuggets tomorrow. They have the Celtics. They have the Bulls. They have the Raptors at Raptors. They got the Pistons at Pistons. They got the Knicks. They got the Bucks at Bucks. They got the Brooklyn Nets, who's playing good. Mm-hmm. They got Sacramento King, who's still fighting. Wizards, the Jazz at Jazz. The Hornets and the Pelicans. That's to finish off their month of March.
Right. And you know the games that I really want to see, like in all those games, I want to see against. I want to see Brooklyn.
Brooklyn?
Because I want to see D'Angelo
Russell. Yeah.
Because he's playing at a
very high
level. And
they playing at L.A. That's going to be at Lakers, yeah, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I want to see that game. Center. Because when that's you're a former player and it didn't work
out. March 22nd. They play March 22nd.
And it just feels like they booted you out, and now you hooping.
Yep.
Ooh. Yep. I wouldn't be surprised he dropped 50.
Yeah, if he ball out against them. And then to finish out the April, they got Thunder at Thunder. They got Warriors. They got at Clippers. They got Jazz at home. And they got Trailblazers. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
That's tough.
It's a wrap for Lakers, man.
Nah,
it's a wrap for Lakers, dude.
So it's going to be 2-15. I'm glad you said Trailblazers, because that served as a reminder. I looked at the Blazers roster.
Last year was their
roster. And they got Lillard. They got McCollum. And they got a bunch of pieces.
I know.
And they're winning games.
They was like that last year. Remember, we was like, how they had three
Walton win games with two
because he not Terry Stotts. Look. As much as Terry Stotts got outcoached last season in the playoffs, as much as, you know, he does have, I wouldn't say he's like top five coach, but he's definitely top 10 coach to me. Walton is not Terry Stotts. Terry Stotts has a system. Terry Stotts has been able to be like a mini version of Rick Carlisle. You know what I'm saying? And Luke Walton has not been able to prove that.
All right. So, glad you said that, because here's the other conclusion I came to. We need to stop saying Luke Walton. Well, not we. We as the media. All of these people on TV, they need to stop saying Luke Walton is a good coach. He's not a good coach.
I don't think anybody's saying that.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
They are saying that.
Chris Broussard. Well, here's the thing.
They don't want, and I think they just don't want to offend him. So,
well, because I think,
but nah, bro,
this is his first head coaching gig.
Yeah,
and they don't want to just
third
shoot.
Year.
But they don't want to shoot him down because I think.
But Ingram, his reputation was earned. How, Nick?
Yeah, because he was with Golden State.
All right.
I told y'all he was overrated from jump. I never liked Lou Walton.
But to your point, right? Like, he's gotten better year over year. He has, and that has a making of a good coach, because the situation wasn't the best. You knew that you were coming into a situation where it was about a rebuild. It was about teaching. It was about getting the guys to buy into a particular culture and system, right?
So when LeBron, go ahead.
Whenever you get LeBron, all of that stuff is expedited.
It goes out the window.
But when LeBron expedited how? Because I didn't.
I said it goes out the window.
You go from, it's just like when he went back to Cleveland. You go from teaching and building to putting in a system that is going to win a championship. That you're talking light. You're talking about years. You're accelerating it by years.
Okay.
Right. Because remember, what do I always say?
Explain Spoelstra to me.
Spo was different in the sense that he was groomed by Riley. That was the difference in it. And Riley wasn't gonna turn his back on Spo because he knew what he had.
And Spo has some history of his own. Like, he was the video manager, whatever.
Yeah,
so he was always watching film. So to me, it was like he understood the game. And plus, he had way before LeBron got there. So he knew how to coach a superstar.
All right, explain David Blatt to me.
David Blatt was like Luke Walton in the sense that they brought him in to be able to teach and build a culture. When you get Bron, it's championship now.
They all were in championship now situations, and they all won games with less talent.
Because it's LeBron.
Then with we just less not, talent.
We understand that, but we understand also that LeBron, when he's at his full strength, he could pull whoever other four players to the conference finals. That's the greatness of LeBron. It don't matter the coach.
He ain't pulling now.
Because he hurting old.
Real quick.
Walton is not a good coach.
I didn't realize.
You need to stop it.
I don't think Walton is a bad coach. And I think that Walton will get another opportunity.
I think he might get going.
I don't think he'll get going this season.
Well, no. I'm not saying that. I don't think he's gonna get like back to back. Like, I don't think he's gonna get a head coach next year. But if he waits a year or two, I think he could definitely get another young team.
To me, he needs more experience. He needs to be on another coach's staff, like some other coach,
like assistants.
Yeah, like to find his niche. Because to be honest, granted, he did improve the first two seasons with the young kids, but for them to think that he could work with LeBron and expedite that experience, I think that was just too much for him. I think he was he's going to get fired regardless.
Of course,
because of the LeBron
situation. Of course, and then also, you know, you have management change, and that's not his guy. That's not their guy.
That's not their guy.
You know, so
he got somebody breathing over his shoulder.
So my thing is this, right? Like, I always say that there's different types of coaches for different parts, or you know, where you are in your process of a team that you need. Sometimes you need a rebuilding head coach. You know what I'm saying? That's like a Luke Walton, but he's not necessarily a championship head coach. So then in the middle of that process, just like what happened to Mark Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the middle of that process, they needed him, right? But then they got rid of him when they needed to win a championship.
You don't think that if he would have stayed one year?
I don't think he would have won the championship because his system was too simple for what Golden to unlock, to uncork what Golden State is right now. I think he was able to build them up to a certain point, but that whole just pick and roll basketball wasn't enough. We saw ball movement, player movement. You know what I'm saying? What Steve Kerr is doing. That's the reason why they took a whole nother level. But they wouldn't have been the defensive team without Mark Jackson. Steph Curry wouldn't have elevated as a point guard without Mark Jackson. They needed him, but they didn't need him to win a championship because he may not be a championship level head coach. We know Steve Kerr is that. Steve Kerr is the architect of what they do. And then defensively, look at who they have on the roster, Ron Adams. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, in terms of his coaching staff, look at the coaching staff too that Steve Kerr has had. Look, man, At the end of the day, you need championship head coaches, and there's only a select few that are that. And Luke Walton is not that. He's a rebuilding head coach just like David Blatt was.
Yo, what up, Manny?
What's good, yo?
What up, Manny?
Chilling, bro. Yeah, I got you here with FIFO, BZ, and Nick from the No Disrespect podcast.
What's good? What's
up? What up?
So, Manny's a big time LA fan, and he's a LeBron hater. So, Nick, you have company.
I don't hate LeBron. I just am very critical of him.
So he's in his feelings. So he needed to come on here and.
No, I'm not in my feelings, man. I'm just kind of. I'm kind of happy that this is happening right now, the way it's going down, because I feel like LeBron and the whole media circus and the whole package that surrounds LeBron is finally getting exposed for what it is, and it's finally happening now, and I think that the entire country is witnessing this right now. I mean, you notice that all the LeBron sycophants out there, they have nothing to say. Like, what can they say?
What do you mean by package exposed?
Well, I mean, listen. This isn't about LeBron the player. I mean, we all know LeBron's one of the greatest basketball players that has ever laced up basketball sneakers. It's not even a debate. It's not even a question at this point. But as you guys know, with LeBron comes a lot of baggage. We all seen it in Miami. We all seen it in Cleveland, the second go-around. And even the first go-around. There's a lot of drama with LeBron. There's a lot of it's a soap opera quality to LeBron. It's like it's just an aura of chaos and dysfunction that surrounds LeBron. Everybody that surrounds his inner circle, from Rich Paul and Maverick Carter. I don't have to go into detail, but you guys know what it is. I mean, this is why the relationship between him and Pat Riley kind of soured in Miami. This is why him and Dan Gilbert never got along, although Dan Gilbert's an idiot. We know that. Like, there's been a long history of evidence to support this. And now it's happening in L.A. The only difference is now that in L.A., LeBron has no equity built with that city or with that franchise. Like, in Cleveland, he was LeBron. He was the savior. He was the hero. He was the hometown king, all that nonsense. So he could get away with doing it. In Miami, because of just the element of that team and the rock star quality of that team, the Heatles, as they like to call it, plus Wade being there to kind of shield him from a lot of stuff. I think he got away with it. And then the second go around with Cleveland, obviously. But now it's like the Laker fans don't care about the championships he won in Cleveland. They don't care about his history in Miami. They don't care about none of that. They don't care about LeBron and everything that he's got going on. Like, care about what have you done for me lately? What have you done with me now? Now, by the way, he's a guy that's constantly compared to the legends of the game. He's constantly compared to guys like Magic, guys like Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys have won and have put in time in L.A. LeBron hasn't earned any of that. So I think he's got, and I think that the Anthony Davis thing was not a good look for him and Rich Paul. It just wasn't.
Well, who's comparing him to they comparing him to the greats already?
He's about to pass Michael Jordan for third all-time.
I'm talking about in L.A. greats.
I think you're talking about that mural.
In general, like, I mean, since LeBron came into the league, I mean, he's been wearing the mantle as the chosen one, the next guy, the next up in line to be the face of the league, and he's done that. He's been the face of the league now for 15 years or so, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's constantly always being compared to the greatest of all time. That's what guys in his stature are always being compared to. They're always being compared.
So, but why is that a negative though? Because you just sound like a hater right now.
He is a hater.
Because first of all, regardless of whatever you do as a profession, don't you want to be compared to the greatest that do it? You know what I'm saying? So you using that as a negative, first of all, sounds like
I'm not pure hate. I never once used that as a negative. I'm saying that he's compared to the greats of all time, and I'm using that as a correlation to my argument, saying that in L.A. he's going to be held to a higher standard than even Kobe and Magic Johnson, and Kobe and Magic and Shaq and all those dudes, because he hasn't done it in L.A.
No. See, I disagree, because at the end of the day, whenever you go to the Lakers, it's always about winning championships, and the Lakers always have some of the greatest. But what you're trying to say is that he's going to be held to a higher standard than all of the other Laker greats. Why is that?
No, I think he's going to be held to a he just needs to be held to a championship standard in this exactly. 4-year contract. He has to win
exactly, and yeah. That's why I'm saying whatever the hell Manny's saying, it just sounds like haterism, even if maybe that's not your intent. Or am I the only one that feels that way?
My question to you is, from the time that he signed with LA to now, you said that you were happy that he got exposed, but did you expect it to be like this?
No, I didn't. I don't even think the biggest LeBron hater or anybody expected it to be like this. I didn't think that they would go out there and win 60 games, of course, but I thought they would be a good team. And for much of the first half of the season, they were a good team. And then he got injured, and then I think the Anthony Davis thing was the really when everything started to go haywire with that team.
Okay, but how is that on LeBron though?
How is that on LeBron?
The Anthony Davis situation? Because you're saying,
who do you think was pulling those strings? It wasn't Magic. It wasn't just Magic and Rob Pelinka. It wasn't Jeannie Buss. Who do you think was pulling the strings?
I agree with that point.
It's doing LeBron's bit. Like, come on now.
But regardless of that factor, right? At the end of the day, these are professional athletes that get paid millions of dollars to play basketball. Yes or no?
Yes.
Facts.
Right? So regardless if you're going to be traded or not, you still need to go out there and hoop to the best of your ability.
Absolutely.
True.
And also, LeBron got hurt, and they have not been the same since LeBron got hurt. Other guys have gotten hurt in and out of the lineup, and they were still winning when LeBron was 100%, wasn't he? Weren't they? Mm-hmm. And as soon as LeBron got – so how are we using these things like against LeBron? Look, and you talking about being exposed to what?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Like he's exposing what? Because – this is always,
I think, the toxic environment that KD mentioned early in the season.
Thank you. What KD said in that interview that everybody was up in arms about, oh, he's dissing LeBron. No, he's not. He's telling the truth.
Yeah. That's
LeBron carries a toxic environment around him. Mm-hmm. Like that, the constant non-committal, oh, I'm going to sign this 2-year contract, but I'm only going to do a 1-1, and I don't know if I'm going to re-sign. That's a toxic environment.
But how is any of this new?
No,
if you play on that team. When your best player is not all in, and at times I feel like LeBron hasn't been all in, like he hasn't, it's just, even if he is all in, the image, the perception is that he's not all in, because he doesn't commit long term to these organizations.
But why is that a problem?
Because he signed 4 years, though. He's committed 4 years.
Exactly, to L.A. But regardless, even in Miami or in Cleveland, both stints, if you are the other guy, right? If you want to commit long term, then that's on you. If you know that LeBron, because you have to look at basketball year to year. It does not matter if he's here for 5 years, because if he says, I want to get traded, what's going to happen? He's probably more than likely going to get traded.
My thing with the toxic.
But it does matter. Like, the best player is not committed. When the best player is saying, I'm kind of in, like, I kind of want to be here, but I don't know. I'm going to keep my options open. And I'm not saying that the mindset that these kids have, this oh my God, woe it's me, they want to trade me, so I'm just going to go out there and let it affect my play on the court. I'm not saying that's the right tactic. I'm not defending them by any means necessary. But I'm just, by no means am I defending that. But what I'm saying is, you can't argue that that hasn't played a part in this.
And my thing with the toxic environment is that it's more, I relate it to like working in you guys were all former co-workers, in a work environment. Yeah, you come, your job is to do your job and you get paid for that, right? No matter what happens, you're supposed to perform to a level that there's an expectation for your level of performance. However, in a work environment, there's certain people that just might rub you the wrong way. It might not have nothing to do with work related, it's just personal. And that may cause you to be like, you know what? I don't really want to work here no more. I might want to move. I think with LeBron and that whole Anthony Davis situation, he came in saying the young prince over here as far as Kuzma, young king over here as far as Ingram. However, halfway through the season, before even, what, All-Star break, he's talking about trading this whole squad just to get one player, which means for me as a young player, just like you said, I'm trying to ball now so I can get my first contract. Mm-hmm. But, and this is the team that chose me to do that. How in 1 year can all that change? Can I be in a whole different city? Yes, you're right. They are professionals, and they're supposed to, wherever you go, you got to ball out. However, you're saying one thing, but then you do another back in behind closed doors. That's my issue as far as the toxic environment.
But maybe this is easier said than done. Obviously, I've never been in an NBA locker room or even on that type of level. But the way my mentality would be is that you have to have a certain value. Right. Like if you look at the NBA as a business, if we look at all of these players and their contracts as stocks and value. Right. If I'm on a rookie deal, that means that my value isn't high enough. If I'm not balling out, scoring 20 some points a game, maybe my value isn't high enough. And you have to understand where you kind of fit in the league. Right. Where you have to be honest with yourself and be like, well, damn. Anthony Davis is better than where I am right now.
That is true. Everything you're saying is true. I'm just saying, though, when Magic drafted Lonzo, what did he say? Yo, I want to see your jersey in the Raptors. Mm-hmm. When Ingram got drafted, they're both the top two pick in those draft classes. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Again, I always bring up draft capital. They spent a lot of draft capital to develop these players. I don't think if they wanted to trade these players for other players, they would have been done that. They wouldn't even drafted them, in my opinion. But they chose to go this way. They chose Luke Walton to coach them, to bring them up. And again, in 1 year, because of one player, all that's out the window.
You 1,000%.
Because why?
Because he's supposed to be the guy.
Championships.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's last year. That's not this year. But
championships. But there's no time to develop. You guys have said LeBron brings championship expectations. So once LeBron, from what you guys have been telling, once he stepped in the door, everything else is out the window because we're trying to win championships. So if I got to get rid of these guys, get them the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's bad business.
That's not bad. That's just that's the business of basketball. Because
that's not business. That's his business of basketball.
That's the business of Lakers trying to win championships. Exactly.
You have to understand that GMs, organizations look at windows. Right. When you have a young team, your window is larger.
And they got a 4-year window.
Exactly. So LeBron shortens up that window. We're looking at this as like a 5 to 7 year rebuild. But when you get LeBron, that thing is 2 to 3
years.
They
got a 4-year contract. And they got four.
Again, I agree with everything you're saying. I'm just saying the toxic environment, that element. That's the reason why I don't think they'll sign free agent. That's the reason why I feel like that locker room is crumbled.
What you got, Manny?
No, what I was going to say is, first of all, FIFO, I'm not saying I disagree with you and everything that you're saying. You're right. But, A, you got to look at the mentality of these young. Like, you are OG. You can't put yourself in the mindset of a Kyle Kuzma or Brandon Ingram. But these young kids, they don't think that way. They're not built like cats from the 90s where I'm going to just pay my dues and they're going to show me love at the end of the day. They're not built like that, especially these kids. Like look at a kid like Kyle Kuzma, right? Like, he was the 27th pick in the draft last year. He came in. He defied all expectations, balled out, put in work. And then this year he comes back, is put in a better statistically having a better year than he had last year. And then it's like, damn, like, what did that all mean? Like, you come into the season, you're telling me we're part of the core, and then as soon as you got a chance to go out and get an Anthony Davis, who's better? Nobody's going to argue that. Like, damn, this was like, oh, we just waste, like, we just garbage, like, toss this to the side. Like, you gotta put your mind in that dude's head, like, yo, like, damn, like, for real, like, this is how we do it. Yes, I know it's a business. Yes, I know it's a dog eat dog world, and it's about championships, and it's about, you know, at the end of the day, winning a ring. But egos are involved. I'm sure you guys can all agree that a lot of athletes have a lot of egos, right? So, of course, this ego is going to be bruised in this situation. There's gonna be, and the Lakers put themselves in a bind because the Lakers were a team that was even Magic said it, that we're a rebuilding team. We're trying to build this thing up. We have a lot of young players, and we have a core group of young players that we're trying to build and keep. And as soon as LeBron became available, and as soon as LeBron was sending feelers out there that he wanted to come to LA, it was Magic's job to have to go out there and get him. Right? That was his mandate. Right? So once you go get LeBron, the rebuild is over. Like, it doesn't become about rebuilding and like, LeBron doesn't care about Lonzo's development. LeBron's not here for Lonzo's development. Mm-hmm. LeBron's not here for Kyle Kuzma's development. LeBron's not here for Brandon Ingram. So the Lakers are in a situation where for the last 5 years they've been rebuilding it, and now in one summer, all of that changes. All of it changes. And now they're kind of stuck in the middle. You got a coach that was brought here to coach a rebuilding team. Now he's coaching the greatest player of his generation in a situation where the GM, the president, the GM, and the star player didn't choose him, didn't anoint him to be the coach. Like, it's just a bad situation all around.
Well, look, it's year one of four.
And this is shocking that you just said that, too. This is just the first year. We got three
but
more years.
But you will admit that LeBron having, like, I mean, I know, and I know it's video, so like, you can't make much of a storyline by little clips and stuff, because people can part clips and make it look like whatever. I get that. But you will admit that the effort hasn't been there by LeBron, right? Like, it hasn't been a good look.
No, it hasn't.
Has to push him to go guard it.
Exactly. Like, no,
it's not been a good look. Y'all will admit that, right?
Well, I think that's kind of the second question that we had when we broached the Lakers topic to open up the A block, and this is the second part, is like, what's wrong with LeBron, right? And here's part two of what I said I had this morning, and I just got to take the blinders off. He's not all in. He's not all in.
Because he knows he can't, at this point, he can't win with this group.
Right.
He also knows that they're probably out of the playoffs. And LeBron has been in the finals how many straight years? The finals?
Being in the playoffs in general since, what, 2005?
Exactly. Yeah. So this is different for LeBron. He had never had no summer off, which I think could, for his body and the recovery process, can be good. I think that at this point, right, it's over for the Lakers. Let's just be honest with it. Let's get over it. The season's almost over. And right now, all of the pressure is squarely on Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. Because obviously you put this team together previously. Oh, we're going to put ball handling around LeBron. We're going to put scrappy guys around LeBron.
Which didn't work. The plan didn't work. Magic tried it, didn't work.
Exactly. And the beautiful thing about the plan was that you have young players, you have one-year contracts, so you can reset real quick. Mm-hmm. So it's, when you get LeBron, it's not about a rebuild, it's about a reset. And that's where they are this offseason. How are you going to reset around LeBron, because missing the playoffs 2 years in a row is, Magic got to be out. You got to fire Magic at that point.
You got to fire Magic and LeBron.
All of them. All of you. No, for real. At that point, you and start all the way over again. But I think that we are going to see some draft day trades. I think that the Lonzos, the Ingrams, all of the youngins of the world, I don't think that they're
Ingram been balling though.
No. Hey. But here's the thing though.
It's only been for 2 weeks, man.
It's only been for 2 weeks.
But we see it, though.
No. Ingram, where I need to see Ingram do better, it's not the offense. It's defense. Like, bro, you said, what's your wingspan, dog?
He like KD-esque.
Yeah, he has to be better defensively.
All right, that comes, but your rule, 3-5.
And this is his third.
But Brandon Ingram ain't looked the way he, all season, the way he's looking now.
But you know what, though? Here's the thing.
And he's consistent with it. When I brought it up the first time, you said consistency.
But
I
agree. But with this team right now, what is their biggest knock? Two of their biggest knocks. They can't hit free throws and they can't play defense. You got to do one of the
shooters either.
They ain't got no shooters either, but... So he,
he's right about the defense, but we're talking about like when I look at right now, I'm evaluating next year. Like, are these guys, is Brandon Ingram really going to be any good? Is he going to live up to the number two billing?
Probably not.
And the way he's been playing, he fits within your 3 to 5, I think he can.
But my thing also is that he's not a player ready today or tomorrow, next season, to really add to a championship level roster. I don't think so. I don't think he's ready for that. So how do we know that? Because look, when you are able to contribute to a championship roster, right, it's not all about the numbers. It's about the little things. It's right. about the nuance. It's about the experience
that he's learning this year.
He doesn't have enough. He still has not played in the playoffs, Ken. Still has not played. Even with LeBron, still has not played in the playoffs. Okay. So to me, he doesn't have enough to actually go into the playoffs and help a championship-level team get rid of
him. But neither did Kyrie when LeBron got there.
But Kyrie's a different animal, though. We knew that. We knew that Kyrie wasn't going to back down from nobody. We knew Kyrie was going to go out there and go ball.
So
we
Brandon knew that. Ingram backs down from people?
We know that Brandon Ingram don't got that type of dog in him.
He thinks he does. I don't know.
We haven't seen it. It doesn't matter.
I've seen him try.
I think he's starting to develop it. Like, I think he's starting to gain.
No. But he's
one good month of basketball. But this narrative going around with Brandon Ingram, like Brandon Ingram has just been a bum, or he's just been
No. He hasn't been a bum or nothing like that. But all I'm saying is, if you compare him to Kyrie came in. Kyrie went to Duke with that. Kyrie was injured the whole year, came into the NBA for his game with that. So even Kobe, and Kobe only averaged 8 points as a rookie. But we knew that Kobe wasn't going to back down. Kobe, it's just a certain mindset. And I don't know if Brandon Ingram has it. And all I'm saying is, by my evaluation, by what I've seen, Kakuza has it more than Ingram, yeah.
No.
And I love Lonzo, and I always defend Lonzo.
It's funny that Lonzo don't got it with his daddy.
Exactly. I don't get it. But you know, but his youngest brother does. But that's neither here nor there. But I'm saying trade Brandon Ingram, try to keep Kuzma. But if you can go get somebody.
Wait a minute. Didn't Brandon Ingram try to get a game? Wasn't Brandon Ingram coming down the court one time? Remember when Rondo hit that shot and Brandon was dribbling down the court and LeBron was over on the left and he didn't pass it to him and he tried to score with the little scoop? The up and under, he tried to go under the rim, and it got blocked by Horford, and the ball went out to Rondo. Brandon Ingram took the last, he attempted the game-winning shot. How is that not having some type of fervor, some type of dog in him, some type of...
Because you're picking one game out of 82.
The
like
he looks, his demeanor, the sleepy eyes, the long lankiness, so he doesn't have that effervescent personality that
ain't
you see. Ain't
awesome coming out.
I think what we're talking about is like, it's just the way he carries himself.
It's LA. It's LA. That you know the reason why his eyes low.
He doesn't have that dog in him. I mean, I don't know. I'm not there in practice every day. I'm not watching him. I'm not coaching him. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. I think it's too early to say that. I think it's too early to say that, oh, he's just not a contributor for a championship team. I just think that's a mistake to just do right now, year three.
All I'm saying is that there's certain young guys like Dame Lillard, day one, that you know, okay, if they were in a championship situation, that they're not going to back down. You know that they're going to play their best ball in the critical moments.
And
all I'm saying is that Brandon, huh?
The same Dame Lillard that went MIA in the playoffs last year?
That's unfair.
And that's one series. That's one series.
Facts are facts.
You act like he don't have a resume.
Yeah, I won't give you Dame on that one.
Come on, man.
Exactly. I could give him one series.
Everybody has one bad series.
All I'm saying is that from what I've seen and from what I've seen where Brandon Ingram is in his development, I'd rather have somebody that's more ready right now.
Okay. All right. So year one, we all knew that this was a throwaway year. You came into the season saying this is a show and prove for the offseason. So your whole thing about this was about the offseason.
Yes.
That's been your stance. I thought they were going to make the playoffs.
You ain't say just the playoffs. Go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to make the playoffs.
And you jumped off the deep end.
Yeah. Hey, look, it was looking great for a while. The man got hurt. I couldn't predict that. Injuries is a part of it. Everybody on the damn team got hurt. The season has been a nightmare. Lazo, Kyle Kuzma walked off the court. Brandon Ingram got a sore shoulder. Tyson Chandler hurt. Rondo got hurt. Everybody been falling apart. You can't predict these things. Given a healthy roster, you know, who knows? We don't know. But we do know that they've been hurt and they're not going to make the playoffs. So I was wrong. Fine. But at the end of the day, most of the people out there were saying, like, they didn't expect much from this season. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing.
I disagree. I think that's spin right now. I really do. I think it's spin.
No, it's,
right now.
That's the way. That's the way the season started.
Yeah, people weren't saying they were going to be like a 55
I think
plus.
A lot of people are now having revisionist history. Like, oh, I knew the Lakers were going to struggle. I knew the Lakers were. Nah, it was a lot of people that were saying the Lakers were going to make the playoffs last year. Or in July, August, September.
I did.
The season, there was a lot of people. Now, nobody expected this season to win 60 games. So let me clarify that. I don't even think the most hardy Laker fan was going to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to the Western Conference Finals and shit. No. I think 75-80% of fans out there thought the Lakers at the very least when LeBron would be a playoff.
I think it was 50-50. I've seen more 50-50. I may give you 60-40. But either way, nobody expected a title, right? And this four-year thing is about a title. Championship expectations for the Lakers. So we're down. We got three left.
But this summer is huge for the Lakers, especially going off of last summer where they only got LeBron.
But you're going into year two really looking it's just not a good look right now.
Think about if you were a player.
It just doesn't feel like a good vibe. There's not an aura of optimism going into the offseason.
Exactly. Think about if you were a player.
There just isn't that. There isn't like, damn, yo, these young boys, they showed up, they played well with LeBron. There's some cohesion. There's some chemistry. There's something to build going into next year. The Lakers are in flux next year. All we know is LeBron is on the team, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all y'all need.
Yep.
Man. Nah, you need more than that, man. Because if you're a superstar,
a 35-year-old LeBron who's already starting to break down
with two number two draft picks. What more you want? Yeah. You got Kuzma, you got Lonzo.
If I'm a superstar,
two guys that we already talked about, they might ship out on draft day.
FIFA thinking.
I'm saying FIFA's making that point, and that could very well happen. That they could all be.
All right, so if they traded for Anthony Davis, then you got two guys.
Yes.
So now what?
If you're a superstar, do you want to go to LA?
Yeah,
I would.
Because which LA? That's what I meant. Okay, the Lakers. The Lakers specifically.
The Lakers specifically. Yeah, because number one, it's LA. That's number one.
There's two teams in LA.
I understand
about the Lakers.
No, and I get that, but the city does have a lot of lure, regardless of whatever franchise. The number one, the city. Number two, you do have LeBron James on the roster, and you have to feel that. If you are a superstar player, right, that me and this guy, we could do some things.
That you're the missing piece.
Exactly. And that's the sale job that Magic Johnson has to do, and I think he can do that. Because there's just certain people in certain sports that just have a natural level of cachet. And Magic Johnson is definitely one of those people.
But I agree with you. If it was any other, like if it's a Kemba Walker, Chris Middleton, I think as soon as they walk in the room, they just, you know, wide-eyed as far as, like, this is Magic Johnson, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you're a KD, a Kawhi, you move different. Kyrie, you move different. He's not – I don't see him giving that – like, I don't see them really caring about – not saying they don't respect him, but just, like, just because you Magic Johnson don't mean I'm just going to sign this team. I need to see something of somewhat longevity. How is LeBron doing? What is his health looking like? Was that just, you know, just a one-off year as far as this being injury, or is this a sustainable injury that could come back to, like, because if he gets injured again,
but that's the reason why not making the playoffs is actually good for LeBron this year. He has a lot of mileage. He's played the most minutes in NBA history already. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I always look at things positively in the glass half full, and if I'm looking at it from a positive perspective, LeBron will have the entire summer to recover. We only know what LeBron has been. It's only been healthy. So I'm expecting for him to come into the season, especially with no playoffs this year, to come into the season healthy, ready, motivated, right, to put away. Because we've seen LeBron in tight situations come back and prove people wrong all the damn time.
So I'm expecting a high level of basketball play from LeBron next year, even though it's his 17th year, right? I'm expecting for Magic Johnson to swing a move, right? Maybe they go get Mike Conley during the draft, right? Because you can give up a couple young players plus a very early draft pick. You know what I'm saying? I think it helps both teams. You can go get a Mike Conley, and you can still go sign a DeMarcus Cousins. And now, is that not a big three that can contend, that should be able to contend?
Mike Conley's helping you win a championship?
Huh?
Mike Conley's is helping you win a championship?
Of course.
Mike Conley's going to help you beat the Warriors?
Yes.
He could, but I have injury concerns with him.
1,000%.
If he's 1,000%. But if he's healthy as a third piece on that team?
Yes.
But I wouldn't give up Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, or Kuzma for Conley.
And a pick.
You might as well keep what you got.
I give up Lonzo. I give up Lonzo.
For Mike Conley?
Yeah, because Mike Conley right now.
And I don't even like Lonzo like that.
Why not?
I'll give up Lonzo for Conley.
I like Mike Conley. I'm just saying, I don't know if Mike Conley is the guy that just puts you over the top like that.
I'm not saying he puts you over the top, but what has been my stance? My stance is getting players that can affect positively your roster in a championship way. And I'm saying Mike Conley is more ready tomorrow than Lonzo to compete for a championship. That's my point.
What about Kemba?
Of course.
I'd rather have Kemba than
Kemba. 1,000%.
Kemba's too wild for me, though.
No, shit, you're wild.
What you mean, wild?
Maybe because he's the only guy on that team. Maybe if he's in a different situation.
No. You want Kemba doing what Kemba
do. You want Kemba doing.
Yeah, man. No, that Kemba go get buckets.
That dude is a man.
Maybe Manny and I, we looking at this the same way. I think Kemba right now, because he can just do whatever he wants. I want to see him play in a controlled environment with championship expectations on a team, and he has to play contained.
Here's the thing. We know that even though Kemba has not been in the playoffs for many seasons, I think they only made it one time.
A few times.
But Kemba comes from championship DNA. And we've seen Kemba hit big shot after big shot. He's one of
in
those
in MSG.
Guys. Yeah, exactly.
He's up and down, though, man, yeah, sometimes.
But
look at his team.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm saying.
Kemba's a very good player. He's not a guy that changes the franchise.
And we get that. But you already have that with LeBron, though.
He's already an important piece, though.
Like, he just hasn't had a lot to work with. So I'm with you, people, on that. Like, he just hasn't had a lot to work
with. But that's the thing. That's what I'm saying as far as this summer is, like, you're not getting a superstar. You're getting a borderline, you know, from a fringe all-star to superstar. Like, you're going to get a Kemba Walker. You're going to get a Chris Middleton. You're going to get a who else is out there?
Clay out there.
Clay Thompson. Like, you're going to get someone who, yes, they have either playoff experience or just skill set. They fit the team. But at the same time, they're not KD. They're not Kawhi. They're not Kyrie. They don't have deep playoff runs. They don't have, you know, the intangibles to know what it's like to be down or to be that guy when you need to show up.
So what are your thoughts on this offseason, Manny?
I think that, like, for me, the whole situation is, if they don't get a superstar, then you might as well. this is why this issue is bigger than I think even you guys are making it out to be. Because I think if you don't get a superstar, then okay, so you're trading Lonzo. Let's say we go by people's theory or whatever, and we just theoretically say, okay, we swap out Lonzo and insert Mike Conley. As a Laker fan, that doesn't really excite me. Like, I'd rather have Lonzo and watch him develop alongside LeBron. And okay, maybe in year two of the LeBron experiment, Lonzo's not there, but he might be that year three, year four. I'd rather go through that than seeing a Mike Conley in year what? Year 12, year 13? I already know what Mike Conley is. Mike Conley's a very good point guard, but he's not a championship level. I don't think he's a championship level point guard. At least not at this current juncture in his career. Maybe a couple years ago when he was with Memphis, or when Memphis was getting to Western Conference Finals, maybe. But not now. Like, I'm not trying to see that. Okay, you trade Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram, and who are you getting back? Boogie? I love Boogie, but is that making you a title contender?
Yes.
I don't know about that. I really
You
don't.
Tripping. If you don't think that Boogie and LeBron is not title contending, then I don't know what type of basketball you be watching.
They're beating the Warriors, right? I mean,
First of all, the Warriors are not going to be the Warriors that we know of today.
Kevin Durant stays with the Warriors. Is LeBron Boogie and Mike Conley beating the Warriors in the seven game series?
If Durant stay there?
I think they can.
What about Klay?
I think they have better odds.
What about Klay?
What if Klay bounce?
Somebody got to go.
Klay bounce. That's a whole. Now you're introducing a whole other element to that.
And that
can happen.
Exactly.
That can possibly happen though.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like they're not going to be able to keep everybody.
They're not going to be the same team that we know them as today.
But Klay's going to stay. Klay is going to stay. He's not.
How do we know that?
How do you know that?
Yes,
there's gonna be some teams that's gonna break the bank for him.
Yeah, but I think if he wants to just.
All right, so last question on the Lakers. Who's gonna replace?
I have a question for y'all.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was gonna say who's the coach next year? Because I think a lot of this has to do with who's the coach.
Yeah. That's where we're going. I think Doc Rivers.
No, Jerry West ain't letting him go. Jerry, what's wrong with you?
See what Doc is doing with the.
Of course, that's why Jerry West
is smart enough to not let him go. What's wrong with you?
I say Ty Lue. It's all Ty Lue.
I agree.
He's the only. Think about.
He's not. I don't think Jerry.
Don't look at the name. Think about what he's done.
Jason Kidd?
No.
Nah. No. Think about what Ty Lue has done. Not only was he able to manage not only LeBron but Kyrie in deep playoff run, come down 3-1. He's also knows the best offense, the talent to surround LeBron, and that's with shooters. That's something that Magic and Rob Pelinka and even Luke Walton did not do. So he knows how to coach LeBron. He knows how to surround him with the right set of players. And then he also has that deep coaching experience.
And to your point, I think that, let's be honest.
And LeBron
No situation or moment was bigger for Ty Lue, right? Like, it never got past a point where he couldn't manage. It never seemed like it was out of control for Ty Lue. Maybe at points, you know, it can get a little wild when you coach LeBron and you got Kyrie and you got a lot of stuff going on. But it just seemed like he knew how to control all of that. Just, like, from outside looking in, you know what I'm saying, agreeing with everything that Nick is saying. And I think you need somebody that can manage that.
He's a better coach than Luke Walton, yes. He will do a better job than Luke Walton. But remember, I was trying to fire Ty Lue the last year he was coaching LeBron. So I'm not
But these are different circumstances, though.
They are.
I guess.
Now, here's the thing. Obviously, Doc Rivers would be the best. Because we've always said LeBron hasn't played for an iconic coach. Mm-hmm. And Doc Rivers would be the best coach overall that he's played for. So I would love to see that. Right? Just from a LeBron perspective. But, again, I don't think Jerry West letting that man walk, bro. That's not happening.
What about
that's not happening. There is no home run hire. I'm not even excited about Tyronn Lue. I mean, I guess if you're choosing between Tyronn Lue and Jason Kidd, I'd rather have Tyronn Lue, only because he knows how to manage LeBron. I mean, let's be real. That's Tyronn Lue's claim to fame. You know, outside of coming back from 3-1, that's his claim to fame is being
and
able
also
to
getting
LeBron.
Stepped on by AI.
I mean, that's a skill in itself. So I guess you got to give him credit for that, but. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a candidate out there that really excites me or says, man, that's a hell of a hire right there. I don't think there is that candidate. I guess Tyronn Lue. I mean, unless there's somebody out there that we're not mentioning.
I don't know, man, but.
Unless you're going into the recycle bin and Tibbs, Sam Van Gundy.
Hell no.
Mark Jackson.
Nah. No. Nah. Maybe Mark, but.
Is Mark never going to get another coaching job?
Nah, he's done.
I think it has to be, like, the perfect job for him. Because TV's too cushy.
It would have to be a really young team for him, though.
Yeah.
I think it'd be, like, a rebuilding team, like a situation where he's coming in with a bunch of young pups and they want somebody.
They blew the whistle.
I don't think he's getting, like, that. Remember, like, a couple years ago, the speculations about him getting, like, a big coaching job from, you know, the Knicks or something like that. I don't see it happening. Not at this current juncture, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, they have. Well, man, we got 3 more years. So, one down. You might get one. Just stay in it for the ride, man. And enjoy LeBron and all his greatness.
I'm in it for the ride. I'm just worried that we're going to become Cleveland Cavs West in a couple years.
Magic seems determined not to let that happen. So
you know what? Magic is not getting enough heat for this.
I totally agree.
I need Magic to be. I love Magic. I respect Magic. Of course, I'm a Lakers fan. But Magic needs to be slandered for this.
You know what?
He put this roster together.
He did, and, you know, he had a plan. It was a one-year plan. It didn't work, obviously. But I'm on your side about the trades now. Muscala, Walton's not even using him. So they might as well have kept Zubac. Who's the other guy they got? Reggie Bullock. That didn't work. So, I mean, that was a wash.
No, Reggie Bullock works, but he's a victim of Luke Walton's strange substitutions and rotations. Like, Reggie Bullock was a +9 that game they lost, that Friday night game against the Bucks. It was a +9, and Rondo was like a minus something. I don't even notice that. And Rondo played the entire fourth quarter, and Reggie Bullock was on the bench. I was like, okay, that makes sense somehow. I'm frustrated. I don't even want to talk about it.
All right, man. Well, appreciate you calling in, man. We'll catch you later, man. I'm sure we'll do this again. All right,
Manny.
Later. Celtics, they're going to make it out the first round.
Not if they play Philly in the first round.
Not if they play Philly.
I think as of right now, but somewhere deep down in me thinking like, man, Boston should be okay, right? Like,
I'm starting to lean with you.
Is this what Boston going to be okay?
Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like I feel like This is just a dark moment right now, and it seemed like people panicking because it's getting close to playoffs. But I feel like once the playoffs start, I think everyone gonna kick it into high gear, and I think Boston gonna be okay, man. But if they do play Philly in the first round, that's tough. An interesting first round because, you know, Boston always kind of had their number, and even Joel Embiid always admit that. Like, damn, every time we play Boston, they kick our ass. So I don't know if that's gonna play with him mentally when they go into this playoffs or. I don't know, but I feel like Boston's going to kind of get it together once it get close to playoffs.
For me, it's whoever has home court advantage that first round.
It looks like it's going to be Philly if Boston stay a 5 seed. Yeah,
if Boston can get up to 4, granted there's not much going further than that as far as in the East, but at least they get home court first round. Because last year that was their saving grace against Philly, was the fact they had home court.
But they beat them in 5, though, didn't they? I thought they beat them in 5 games.
Yeah, but those games was real close.
But
I don't know. And then, you know, Joel Embiid is out right now. And it looks like it might be a little bit more serious than, you know, initially being let on.
He's supposed to be, 10 days?
I don't know.
Well, he's supposed to be back this week, though. So they just rest him up for the playoffs. He's
supposed to be.
Well, he said it, I think, too.
Okay.
All right.
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
Until that day comes.
I'm like with people. I wouldn't be surprised if he missed more. Yeah, I mean, if he come back this week, fine. But
just sit him out to the playoffs?
If he missed more... Then
I don't think you can sit him out that long.
You can't sit him out that long. You got to at least get him in a good rhythm before you come into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You have to.
And especially if your first round team is going to be Boston.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because he's going to be...
Can't take no games off against them.
Mm-mm. And he has to be ready to dominate in that series for them to win. And I don't understand... You know, when I look at that Boston-Philly matchup, to me, it's primarily Brad Stevens versus Brett Brown, especially at this point.
That's what I mean.
You know, and Brad Stevens has outcoached Brett Brown consistently. But I also feel that overall, Boston has had more talent. Now, to me, the talent pendulum swings toward Philly. Mm-hmm. Like, they got 5 guys that are ready. You know what I'm saying? You talking about Ben Simmons, already he's had playoff experience. Joel Embiid, I think the best player overall, you know, on either roster. You talking about Jimmy Butler. You talking about JJ. You talking about Tobias
Harris. Yeah.
Golly. You know what I'm saying? That should be able to be enough to beat Boston. But that comes down to Brett Brown and how they execute, man.
And Tobias.
But for some reason,
balling.
I don't know how.
He is.
Some reason, Al Horford always seems to, like, I don't know if he just, his IQ was up there where he know how to play Joel Embiid. But it's like he, I never see Joel Embiid get, like, the best. Yeah, like, dominate him.
It's all about, to me,
what
it's
is he doing?
Positioning. Like, he knows how to get.
Maybe
right
that's
into,
what it is.
He knows how to make Embiid maybe not get into his spot.
Maybe
that's the only thing because he, Embiid, obviously,
maybe
he's got,
that's what it, you,
he's
you
got
could,
the height
could,
and all that.
That's a good point.
But every time I watch their games, he always is in the right spot in the right time. Right when.
And that's what my dad used to always say. Bill Russell did a good job with Wilt, like, getting him out of his position. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Making it hard for him. So maybe that's why.
And then Embiid settles a lot, too.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah. So that's a good point. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, because Tobias hit a cold-blooded 3 against somebody.
Tobias, he's ready. Man,
Watch out. So I think he could be the X factor. Is Kyrie leaving Boston?
Yes.
If they lose the first round, yeah, hell yeah.
I think he leaves regardless. I think he's already, he's just more about, let me see how far I can take this team. But nonetheless, I'm gone.
So if they make it to the finals, he's gone.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think they get to the finals, though.
But I'm just saying,
I think it's possible. I don't think it's out the realm.
I know.
It's not out the realm.
But I think we're just going by based off how they've been playing recently and how the morale of the team is.
I'm just more of like, if I had to bet money, right now the Bucks, is like, we haven't really given much credit to the Bucks.
Like, so let's go there next, because that's next, the Bucks.
But I'm still... And I think people might agree with me. I'm still like, Giannis got to take that shit to the next level of this playoffs. And I'm not saying he won't, but you know how we got to see it. Like, if Giannis want to be that guy, or if people want to anoint him as the face of the NBA, Giannis, we got to see you carry this team to the NBA Finals. It's just plain and simple.
I feel you, but let's look at the other pieces on that team, though. Middleton, Brogdon, Mirotić.
Bledsoe.
They got loaded.
And they
Paul
got
the coach now.
They got Paul Gasol.
And they just signed Paul Gasol.
And that's what makes even more.
You can't lose in the second round.
You can't lose in the second round, Giannis.
And no matter who you play.
At minimum, I give you Eastern Conference Finals. If you lose Eastern Conference Finals,
okay. Cool.
But if you get knocked out in the second round, we can't anoint you as the best player in the league yet, man. He has a sore knee, too,
by the way.
He does. Let me ask y'all this. In the East, who would you say is the most unguardable player out the East?
Giannis.
In Kyrie.
Mm-hmm. Who you think, B?
I'd probably say Giannis, too, man.
They let that boy go down the lane anytime he want to.
It's a lot of Coach Bud. I already explained to y'all why it works.
I've been watching the games more and more. He don't always get the pick. Like, he just blow by.
No. He does blow by a lot.
He got two steps, and he's at the rim.
Exactly. But I agree with Ken. I think that the most unguardable player to me is Kyrie, because we've seen Kyrie dance all over Kawhi, and Kawhi's top two defender.
Remember what you said back in the day? You was like, how do you score? How much ball dribbling does Kyrie have to do? How much effort does it take for him just to get to the rim? And then you're dealing with the length of the Bucks. Like, I don't know if y'all watched that Milwaukee game, but that was a playoff game. He was just frustrated because he couldn't get off the shots that he usually gets off, because the length was there. He had to always look like, where the tree is at.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
But we also know there's a different version of Kyrie in the playoffs.
Yes.
He's one of the few that elevates his game to the point where, like, he go like Super Saiyan. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that because he's been able to prove it in the biggest of moments, where Giannis hasn't for me, where Ben and Joel haven't for me, even Jimmy Butler, you know, he's made a couple game winners, but in the most pressure filled moments,
man,
you know what I'm saying? Like, who else outside? I could give Kawhi that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Kawhi was Finals MVP. Kawhi's playing in big moments. Kawhi's hit big shots, but bigger than Kyrie, I can't say that. So for me, in the East, that's the reason why I still have the Celtics alive.
Right.
As far as a team that I would bet money on, it has to be Milwaukee. To me, they have it all. The only question is, can Giannis take it over the top? And if that's the only question you have, look how many questions we have about all the other teams in the East. Embiid health-wise, Embiid settling. How does Tobias Harris, he looks good now, but would that translate to the playoffs? You have Toronto. You have Kawhi. He still hasn't played like back. I don't know. I think he still only played like half a season technically, because he always has a day off and stuff like that. But as far as the team continuity, are they really there yet? We've seen improvement, but we still know them as the Toronto Raptors. And then you got Boston. Boston, you know what the hell they look right now. They like they better out without Kyrie, but we know that may be different in the playoffs. However, we have a lot of evidence that says it doesn't as far as this season.
Of course,
but with Milwaukee, it's like the only thing is just Giannis.
Moving a lot better without Kyrie on the floor too. That's crazy. Terry Rozier, that's nuts.
I'm
literally looking at it, and they moving the ball so fluently without Kyrie out there. That's
crazy.
But this is good for Boston, and the reason why is because even if you don't re-sign Kyrie and reshape the roster or whatever,
they still got pieces.
Exactly. So it don't really matter. Like, Danny Ainge has. And I said this years ago. He's positioning himself. He's gonna be the general manager of the Celtics for the next 10-15 years, bro.
Remember there was a point in time where people were kind of criticizing him for not making no moves
because he was making bad moves. None of the shit was working.
Yeah. At first, but
he just got there.
Yeah,
within the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
he just hit on Tatum. He hit on Jaylen Brown. He got Kyrie. Like, this was in the last 2 years.
But he had to manufacture those draft picks, though. This shit just didn't come from nowhere. Right.
That's why the criticism was valid at the time.
Here's the thing. I feel that a lot of media pundits, I also feel that a lot of fans, they don't have foresight. Sometimes, right now, it may seem questionable, but you got to understand what it can be.
I got you.
And a lot of times we criticize people in the right now, just like a lot of people criticize the Trae Young thing. Right? Like, hey, it's not necessarily about the right now. It's about right now and this. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you winning? Not GM, man, look, the scope that you have to have as a general manager of a professional team is huge. It's not just the right now. It's also down the line.
Yeah, I got you. And I think, you know, this offseason we'll have more conversations about Danny Ainge, because I think he's in a real interesting spot. Do you trade to get AD and risk him leaving to go to L.A.? Because we saw how he looked when LeBron hit that shot, he had that look on his face like, I could be here right now. And to get AD, you probably have to give up your draft picks and Tatum, and we have high expectations of Tatum, and then Kyrie may leave. Like, what is he going to do? So we'll see how that play out. But I'm with you. I've been pushing the Bucks. They need to be talked about more. They've earned the conversation.
Yes.
Now, what they do in the playoffs, we'll see if it was rightly deserved. But right now, man, it's been wire to wire almost. Like, them boys balling, man. So we'll see what happens. Nick Foles, man. Nick Foles he's gonna sign with the Jags.
He's gonna sign with the Jaguars.
Did you see?
I don't like
Jacksonville.
Why not? Did you see what?
What they hurting at.
Lil Duval, he's from Jacksonville.
Right.
He sent out a post like, "Oh yeah, we got Nick Foles. Like, he's happy." Jalen Ramsey, he commented saying, "But we still need to draft somebody though."
Yes, mm-hmm. I'm with that. So. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because I always Nick Foles. Nick Foles over 30, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He ain't that old as people think. He's like, if not barely 30, 31.
Mm-hmm. This is a bunch of hype, man. Like.
So the man won the Super Bowl. MVP.
Come on, y'all. Come on, man. I know. So did Joe Flacco.
So you say he not Kurt Warner?
He's won more playoff games than the guy they drafted.
So you're right. I mean, if I'm a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, I'm happy.
They're happy. Because, yes.
Yeah, because look what you upgrading from.
Because they think they got somebody.
Now, I'm not saying he's going to be our guy for the next 12 years and nothing like that, but from what we just had with Blake Bortles and we get Nick Foles, yeah,
he might be an upgrade.
I'm happy too. That's a good point.
That's why I think
you would be
upgrade
over.
But yeah, they still should draft. I mean, I'm not saying don't put all the eggs in Nick Foles.
Okay.
Yeah, I get that, but I'm just saying going from Blake Bortles to Nick Foles, I'm like, okay,
that's an improvement.
And what better quarterback to have?
You don't see that's much of an improvement? Yeah,
I don't think.
What better quarterback to have if you do draft a quarterback than Nick Foles, who can be the intern to teach the guy? Like, look, I've been a bench player. I've been a starter. He could tell him every team situation
he has. He has a good defense. They just got tired because they was always out there because of Blake Bortles.
And they got a run game. And they got a good O-line.
As long as he stay healthy.
I think he will. Y'all had like Foles didn't start the season like crap last year in Philly.
What else is Jacksonville known?
Carson Wentz was playing though.
No, Nick Foles started the season. And he wasn't looking all that great.
When did Carson Wentz play?
Like four or five? I had him on my team. Carson Wentz didn't start the season. Foles struggled. And he struggled when he took back over.
A Super Bowl hangover.
But you know what Foles is. He's the modern day Eli Manning. He's not the guy who's gonna get you 9-7 to the playoffs and then all of a sudden he's gonna look like the next coming of, you know, Peyton Manning or something, like just breaking down everything and making all the right throws.
Man, y'all bugging.
But I'm just saying that's an upgrade. That's an upgrade from Blake Bortles. So you cool with keeping Blake Bortles?
I think they're about the same.
Really?
Nah. I think they're about the same.
So you're telling me if you take Blake Bortles on that Philly squad, they won they're in the Super Bowl? If you switch them off? You see what I'm saying?
So they're not even.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, I like that move. Exactly. I'm happy. I'm not saying, yes, we got the next coming of Jesus, Cam. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying we got an upgrade. I'm happy about that.
We can win a playoff game now. And it won't. We won't lose it because of the quarterback.
Thank you.
We have a defense. and we have a guy that can score points and not turn over the ball.
And he was the main one on Jalen Ramsey's side when Ramsey was criticizing. You know he was criticizing the quarterback. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, but he wanted to criticize Blake Bortles, but he didn't want to. But you was on his side. You know Blake Bortles was trash.
We're talking about we'll see how it play out.
That's an upgrade, Ken. It's an upgrade. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying Jacksonville about to win the Super Bowl. I'm just saying it's an upgrade.
And it's the right move to make because the AFC South has gotten a lot harder. And Blake Bortles, if before that he wasn't cutting, he damn sure ain't cutting now.
You're right.
Well, to that point, you're right. I guess they can't stand. They're not really losing out on anything, so I guess so.
Yeah.
So Philly, should they have let him go or should they have kept him? Foles.
I feel like you could have got more for Wentz if you would have, like, traded him somewhere else. Because to me, I'll choose production over potential any day, in my opinion. And he literally want to get
– produced.
Nick Foles produced. Did. There's only two quarterbacks.
So Wentz did it.
Because that year they
not when it counted.
I mean, but he was injured.
He was injured, but
before he got injured, they were, like, 11-2 or some shit like that, wasn't
he? But when he came back, what happened?
It's tough to – you just don't bounce back.
It was Achilles, right? Sometimes, I mean –
I'm just saying, we talk about Giannis and him not proving it. I can say the same thing about Carson Wentz. And injuries are part of football, so at the end of the day, yeah, we can give you one year when you were when you were the MVP of the league. But the following years, like, I'm not surprised they kept him, but I would have been more like, what can we get for him?
You don't get away a franchise quarterback.
You don't get the Super Bowl MVP, though.
Hey, franchise
he ain't got no playoff wins.
He tore his Achilles.
But we still know what Nick Foles is. At the end of the day, Nick Foles
has a resume.
At the end of
the day, he threw a pass and the guy bounced off his chest. He threw it right in between the numbers. If he catches that ball, then we may be talking about a whole different playoffs.
Explain to me everything he did when he sucked so bad, he thought about quitting.
I'm talking about playoffs. That's what we talk about, quarterbacks and moments, right? Okay. How many moments has Nick Foles had, not even just with Carson Wentz, but a bunch of other players in that division?
Explain to me how poorly Nick Foles played the year they won the Super Bowl. How poor he played in the first game before he caught fire the last two games.
Okay, so you're talking about one instant.
I'm just saying,
before he won the whole thing.
Nick Foles playing bad, subpar. Yeah. He had one good game. I may give you two, but that's it. That's it. So we'll see. I think you can find a backup. That's all I'm saying.
He is the backup.
Keep Wentz. Draft. Kyler Murray, they're looking at him as the number one for Arizona, which also means Josh Rosen may be out. We can be brief on this because I know we got a long way to go before we get to the NFL draft, and there's a lot to learn. But y'all think Arizona should take him? I mean, they got Josh Rosen. Like, what are they doing?
Why would they take him? I mean, why?
Because of the coach.
And they don't believe in Rosen.
Who don't believe in Rosen? That's what I want to
know. The people that make the moves.
Exactly.
So that's bad on the GM then. I mean,
because the coach that was there when he got drafted, gone. Didn't they switch GMs in the middle of that too? Or just the same
GM? No, it's still the same GM.
Well, they fired the coach though.
Fired the coach. And on top of that, the GM, if you could fall out of love with a guy that quick, especially when you traded up to get him, that's it. They must have something on him.
Yeah. Is it they've fallen out of love with him or they want to give Cliff Kingsbury his guy?
You want to get the coach his guy.
Because they got to, like, when you get rid of Wilkes and you bring in this guy, you got to make it work or you're going to be heavily
criticized.
So maybe
they want to give him his guy. That's the only thing I can
But
think
to
of.
Me, it's like, you. I would rather just trade that pick and get a bunch of – because they have a lot of holes.
Get some other positions.
He might be getting – even though he's, 5'10", he going to get hit a lot behind the offensive line. Larry Fitzgerald is not what he used to be, even though he's a great leader. So I can see why they would want to draft Kyler Murray just so he can learn under him. But David Johnson has been the same for the last couple of years.
He sure hasn't.
And what else are we talking – they got Chandler Jones, but outside of that, the defense is not – you know, Peterson, he was asking for a trade just a few months ago. I really think this team is in a slow rebuild. Now, yes, that does mean you draft a quarterback, but you already traded up. You already gave up pieces to get Josh Rosen, and you don't give up in 1 year?
Right.
It's just like, to me, it's just – that says a lot more about Arizona than it does about Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Kyler Murray is that great generational – like Andrew Luck is – Nah. To where
they
like
want
I need
to be Russell Wilson so bad.
Exactly. They hoping Russell Wilson. Wilson, Drew Brees.
They want to know. They want to. They hoping he's that so bad.
Do you think he is though?
I don't.
I don't really think.
I think there's an agenda.
What's the agenda?
He black.
He black, and they want to push the running black quarterback narrative, which is why they don't want to give Dwayne Haskins, who, from what I read, had a very good showing at the combine.
Yeah.
Like, very, very
good.
Got
a big arm. Him and some other kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a pocket passer, which they've always said that we could not be. So I think they want to continue to push. This is a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to push the whole running quarterback thing and not push the guy. Like, if Dwayne Haskins was white, can you imagine the conversation that we're
and even hearing like the nitpicking, they say, oh, his footwork isn't that great compared to Kyler Murray. I'm like, that's literally the only thing, because they both can make the same amount of throws. Yes, Kyler's quicker and he can run out the pocket, but you don't want your quarterback to be running as much as Lamar Jackson.
Which is what
anyway.
We've always heard. And now all of a sudden they want a running quarterback or a mobile quarterback. What? Pick a side. Which one is it? Do you want a guy a pocket? Because all I've heard, and I'm sure all you guys have heard, you can't win the Super Bowl with a running quarterback. Right. With the mobile quarterback, they have to play in the pocket.
But we saw Russell Wilson win.
I know, but he's more
passer than runner.
Of course, but he still uses his feet to get out of harm's way. And Kyler is the exception to the rule, though. But Kyler is more of a passer than runner. It's just the fact that he's fast as hell and quick as hell.
And we also know that we always give credit to that defense more than Russell for that.
Of course, but Russell still had to make his fair share of plays.
Yes, he did.
Russell had to be Russell. That team couldn't have won with a in the pocket quarterback. He had to make the plays.
No, I agree with you. Yes, you're right.
So all I'm saying is that we want players that are pocket first, but that have enough mobility to move around. You don't have to be Mike Vick, right? Because Aaron Rodgers isn't Mike Vick, but he can move around in the pocket. He can manipulate the pocket, just like Tony Romo. Tony Romo wasn't a downfield runner, but in the pocket, side to side, he can extend plays. And that's what they mean by being mobile. Mobile doesn't mean down the field you break off a 30, 40, 50, 60-yard run for a touchdown. It just means that you're able to extend the plays. And that's what Kyler can do. And I think that eventually in the NFL, is he going to take off a run? Of course. But I think he's more in the mold of Russell Wilson. And I think that's the main reason why everybody is so enamored with him right now. So there is an agenda. And I think that you're 100% right, where this speaks more to the dysfunction of what Arizona is going through than anything else. Because at the end of the day, when you've already moved up in the previous draft to draft a quarterback, even though this draft may have a quarterback that you like more, you have to give a fair shot to that. Because you talk about draft equity and capital.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They gave up a lot. So you have to give this guy an opportunity to show if he is or is not. 1 year is not enough, especially when he arguably had the worst offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah.
You said with no real running game, with no real weapons. Larry Fitzgerald, but he's not getting you 1,500 yards. No, he's not getting you 200 yards a season no more.
And no confidence from the people upstairs on him either. Especially this show, all this talk has shown me that Josh Rosen has been dealing with a lot his first year.
Yep.
Because not only did the coach that they had when he got drafted get fired and the whole team say we wanted him to stay, but on top of that, he must have not gotten enough confidence from the GM or anybody saying, like, you're our guy. Even in the press conferences when it was leading up to these rumors, they were like, yeah, he's our guy for now. I was like, what? Like, this is the guy you moved up to get. This is your choice. This is not he didn't come to y'all. Like,
He
y'all
wasn't here before y'all got here.
Exactly. Like, I don't know. I just think that if they do draft Kyler Murray, we'll see, but I say if you're thinking about taking a quarterback, you need to think about trading that pick, because a lot of teams want a quarterback and a lot of teams want Kyler Murray. Now his stock has risen. I still hope Dwayne Haskins get picks in top six, which he probably most likely will.
He's not getting past the Giants. He's not getting past the Giants.
No.
I hope not. But I mean,
might be pretty good for you guys if Kyler Murray does go number one.
People talked about Jay Gruden, John Gruden liking Murray as well, that he could pull the trigger on trying to make trade up to get him.
But he has a pick before you guys, right?
Yeah, he's four. I think he's four.
Yeah, so you guys will probably get Haskins. I'll be a Giants fan then. I'll be Kyler's black too, so I'm not trying to shit on the brother because I want the brother to succeed. It's just weird to me that he just leaped Dwayne Haskins, but I mean, and most of the reasons I've heard makes sense, but either way, the last question deals with the shop, and I didn't watch it.
Yeah,
did you watch it?
I watched it.
Okay.
Basically, this most I think this is the best episode that he's done. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. He had AB, 2 Chainz, Anthony Davis, Meek Mill,
Jamie Foxx,
Gerard Carmichael, and
Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah.
Dang.
And who else? Oh, and obviously Maverick Carter. I may be forgetting one other person, but that was basically the nucleus. They were talking about a lot. Mm. Like a lot of like really, you know, like AD was talking about how the Pelicans, you know, he gave up 7 years of his career, and then like right after he asked for a trade, they booing him. And even 2 Chainz made a comment saying, "Oh yeah, you gone now." Like, and
but then he said how they end up cheering, like, "We want AD," like in that same game when he was balling.
Exactly.
And then they started cheering, "We want AD, we want AD," and all that stuff. And he would just,
AB had the big, he had the best quotes from that episode. He was talking about, he really went down on Ben Roethlisberger. He went down on the Pittsburgh.
He let loose on Big Ben.
Pittsburgh organization, and he was just talking about him as a player. He was like, when you have a GM talk to the rest of the players outside the quarterback like that, you can see where my frustration comes from. You can see that, you know, the media hasn't, you know, been honest on both sides. And that caused, and for me, that's, it's like, how can I not speak up and he can't type stuff. So, again, you know, watch the show, but yeah, like that was very interesting.
But Big Ben ain't saying anything. It's all AB.
Well, Big Ben said a lot. You talking about some? He should have ran a better route when he threw that interception.
But that's just a quarterback trying to get his talking about a player not doing something right on the field. AB is taking it off the field and taking it somewhere else.
I think everything he's saying is on the field related. I mean, Big Ben isn't a model citizen.
Calling him an owner's mentality.
That's, he does.
But that's attacking his character. Big Ben was like, he should have ran a better route. That's,
but you threw it to the D-line.
I'm just saying it's a little bit different. Not that AB doesn't have gripes, because I'm not there. He is. We can only take what he's saying. We only hear one side. We haven't heard Big Ben yet, and I doubt we are. But to Big Ben's credit, I mean, to AB's point or credit, I mean, when the GM come out there and call the grown men kids, that's not good. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. But I do want to watch it because I'm curious to hear what AD has to say and see if I can read between the lines.
Yeah, and he was talking about how he feel like this is like his second career going into. Like how he says, he was talking to LeBron, like kind of similar to when Bron went to Miami. Mm-hmm. Just like, it was like the start of like the second part of LeBron's career, and he feel like going into this offseason, he's going to feel like this is his second part of career. He's ready to get out of New Orleans. Like, yeah. I mean, you can tell by the way he was talking, he was ready. He's kind of like ready to take that next step in his NBA career and just like, you know, kind of wipe the slate clean and just start somewhere fresh.
He's going to L.A.
You can tell.
I was going to ask, like, where y'all think he's going to
end up? He's going to L.A., man.
Especially with all this talking. Like, he was talking about, there was another interview he did with ESPN. He was just talking all over the place. Mm. He was like, I don't need football. Like football,
AB.
Yeah, he's like, I don't need football. Yeah. I can, you know, do with it or without. And if I am gonna do it, it's gotta be on my terms. Oh. When you say stuff like that, it's like, come on,
bro.
Man.
He gonna stay. He gonna, with talking like that, he gonna stay in Pittsburgh.
Mm-mm. The Jets are really going after him hard now.
Oh, that's new.
Mm-hmm. I thought I heard the Raiders as well.
I saw the Raiders was going after Bell and Brown.
Ooh. I thought it was the Jets going after. No, the Jets were going after Tevin Coleman and Bell.
Yeah. No, yeah, Raiders is going after Bell and Brown. They like, we go, they're like, all right, hey, you don't want to be a Steelers?
Be perfect.
Come on.
There.
Yeah, both of them.
Both of them.
Man, Raiders are dysfunctional.
They go over there. Shoot.
Perfect.
No, but from a talent perspective, look, man,
Bell and Brown go there?
Yes, this again puts the pressure back more squarely on John Gruden.
Yep.
Because you let go of the Khalil Max of the world. And who's the wide receiver? Mari Cooper.
And he balling at Dallas now.
But you bring back Bell and that, and you got these first round picks. Well, obviously you probably have to give them up to get
AB.
To get AB. But you know what I'm saying? If that's how you retool, then you know you got to give him a little bit of props.
I think I've been back and forth with John Gruden. Like, I don't know if he's an evil genius or he's just a jackass.
We'll see. No. We'll see. Year one, he's leaning more toward jackass.
Because you let go of Khalil Mack.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see what happens this offseason.
I mean, he got a decade, so I don't think if he gets fired, it's probably not going to be till year five.
Exactly.
Where they can just, yeah. But that's a lot of money to eat, $50 million.
It's, yeah. And that's the reason why I think he's going to be there at least 5 to 7.
Because you can't eat that much. You can't let them go year three. They pay that man 70.
They gonna call us right up to coach the team.
Right.
For some peanuts if they yep paying this man.
Yep. All right, well, that's gonna do it for us, man. The score is what, 55-30-something? 40-something?
Yeah. I don't know what's got into Boston. They playing with a chip on their shoulder right now. But they playing like playoff Boston. People was talking about playoff Boston, which I think if they had his mentality, they're gonna be okay. They're gonna be all right.
Yeah, I was going to suggest they play down to the competition, but then Houston is competition. They got it, and Houston got it all in their ass. So.
They sure did.
We'll see. Maybe they just get up for the Warriors. I don't know, but
yeah.
But either way, and it's a long way to go in this game. But that's gonna do it for us this week, man. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.